Okay, we'll get started. We'll say a word of prayer. Father, we just glorify you as always, and we bless you just for another opportunity to get into your presence. We seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. We just bless you in advance for it. We thank you again for our Savior who has made all things possible pertaining to us, to life and godliness. We have access to you. In his name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. What I want to share with you on tonight is, you know, a lot of times I like sharing my experiences, and I also like to know about your experiences and different things like that. You know, as you put it, you know, as you give input and things like that, as far as the lesson is concerned. That's why we do it that way. And one of the things that Eldon and I has talked about is to always make an effort to have this type of environment available, even once we go into our building. You know, it doesn't matter. We'll obviously be able to, you know, to handle the audiences and things like that. That's a part of the, you know, the ministry and stuff. And so we always wanted to make it available to where it would always be a type of environment where people could ask, you know, questions, make comments, as long as it's within the lesson, you know, the subject matter. And so, you know, I share a lot of things with you guys as far as my experiences and things like that is concerned. And a lot of time y'all lead me into areas where, you know, you may be experiencing some things, and, you know, just to keep us, you know, to keep us on the same page with him. And so there are some things that I've been noticing that has been happening to the body, but I don't experience these things. There was a time when you was wondering where that noise comes from. I don't know. Is that out? Not for sure. There's a time when, you know, there were times, you know, those who've been with me, you know, back in the 90s and things like that, we would go a lot. We would get a lot of requests. You know, we've pretty much gone just about every week, you know, every week somewhere, because people would like for, you know, for me to come to the churches and preach. They would like to hear, you know, our choir, and people just always like for us to go. And so we was on the go quite a bit. And because of that, we were exposed to other ministries on a regular basis. And I got to see a lot of things, you know, in seeing how different churches operated and things like that. You know, some were, you know, some were good, some were bad. You know, you just work both ways. But I, you know, just had a lot of opportunities to see a lot of things. Well, I'm trying to think around. We hadn't really done that, as far as I can remember, since around 2000, year 2000. We hadn't, you know, so the past 19 years, we haven't. We haven't done, you know, a lot of fellowshipping with other churches and different things like that. And as a result of that, there are certain things that I haven't had to experience unless I encounter people, you know, on the streets or whatever. And I'm amazed when I go get in these environments, these church environments. I'm amazed when I get in these church environments, and what I'm about to say, I say it with humility, you know, because I don't want us to, you know, myself or anybody, you know, as a part of us, think that we're, you know, more than what we ought to think. But I'm amazed in that I get around ministries that we fellowship with, people that we fellowship with, and things like that over the years. And I see 19 years later, and I'm like, man, nothing has changed. It's like nothing has changed. The mindset is still the same. And it makes, it just makes you wonder, okay, when is any growth going to take place? I've looked at over the years how we started out back in 1994, and then I saw each year how things would change as far as the ministers was concerned, as far as understanding was concerned, and so, you know, things would change, and but then to look at certain things and hey, behave. I don't want that. Behave. And so and to look at different things, and there, and you know, and I'll say this to say this, because of where we're, how we do our services and things right now, there are a whole lot of things that we do that, you know, a lot of you hadn't had the opportunity to see yet, because we're not in the atmosphere where all these things can be done. Just kind of give you a little history on our, you know, of our ministry. When World Changers, my pastor, you know, Pastor Dollar, when they would come to Dallas, we would be a very important part of what was happening at that conference. A lot of times, our ministry as well as World Changers would coincide, and we'd have a lot of people in place in certain areas, whether it was greeters or ushers, and you know, kept up with certain information, registration information, and things like that. So we learned how, at a very young time frame in our ministry, we learned how to operate at a level where we could put on major events and organize things in what I guess would be classified from a church perspective in a major way. So there's a lot of things you haven't seen us put into place, and because, you know, of our current circumstance. And when the building is finished, you'll see a lot of things that be implemented that we did for years, and just a lot of things like that. Well, and to see now when I look at certain things or deal with certain people, I see a pattern, and there are kind of two things that I'm going to look at. So I'm going to kind of ask you some questions, and like I said, if you feel, you know, led to answer, you know, fine. If not, then, you know, we just keep moving. It's just this kind of class. I'm just kind of asking questions to feed off on you. What is it that you know or that you see that goes on with the church? And I say it for lack of a better way to say it. People who are part of the church. I'm talking the body of Christ as a whole. I'm not talking about United Mission. Things that you see that happens on a regular basis, and it seems to never change. What are some of the things that you have seen, things you have experienced that seems to never change on a regular basis? Any thoughts? If you visited a church lately or whatever, what is one of the things that you see right off and you're like, wow, you know?
That are good or bad?
Either way, just what things that you see that, you know, that that makes you take notice of or question in one fashion or another, whatever may come to mind.
We got one.
Huh, okay.
Like when we went to the church Sunday, this couple and, well, there's four people standing there, didn't know that they were the first lady of another church and her husband, the pastor. They snubbed. They looked at us like, it went on like that.
Okay.
That's just, I wouldn't like to see that come from the first lady and the pastor.
So basically, in a nutshell, what you experienced was that because people didn't recognize this, I'm gonna say status, for lack of a better way to put it, didn't recognize the status of you guys, then they looked at you as being someone that, that had no importance whatsoever. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's one of the things that I experienced too. What I do, and I do this on purpose, and Yah leads me to do this here. And so that's what I mean by when I do it on purpose. I got suits and things like that, but I've given away a lot of them, because I'm not as big as I used to be. You know, I used to hover around your 235, 40 range. And so, you know, I'm under 200 pounds now. So all my suits that I had, you know, they're not, you know, they were too big, so I gave them away, but I still got some suits and things like that. But what I do is I go to certain sittings and I dress down on purpose. And that's the very reason why I do it, is because there's a certain mindset that's in the body that appears that because of who you are, there's a certain way that you're supposed to carry yourself as far as your dress is, code is concerned, and things like that. And so that's one of the reasons why I dress the way that I do, because it allows me to be comfortable and don't have to worry about, you know, you trying to get me to sit on the stage and where everybody can see my socks kind of deal. That is one of the things that you do see still happen. So from you saying that, here it is, 19 years later, since last time we visited churches, and that same mentality is still there. Well, when you walk in, everybody's looking at each other to try to see how they're dressed, to try to determine their power in Yah. 19 years later, it was there. It was like that when I started the church in 1994. Before I started in 1994, all the experiences. So you know, here I'm 56 years old. As far back as I remember, I that same status is there. So that tells me here in 2019, that's not going to change. That's the mindset of the so-called body of Christ, that thinks that their gift is determined by what they drive, where they live, and all these different things. So it determines what Yah is doing in their lives based upon that mindset. So yeah, that's one example that I've experienced that's still happening to this day. I run into that a lot. I run into a lot of time I be in cities. I mean, just having what I have on now. And then a person who know who I am, they'll say, well, hey, how you doing, Pastor Boyce? And people stop and look in shock like, I didn't know that was Pastor, you know, kind of deal. And so my mindset was, you probably wouldn't have had much dinner with John either, especially when you look at what he had on. And you know, what he ate and things like that, you probably wouldn't have liked John. John was just as simple as they came, John the Baptist. He was just as simple as they come, but yet he was the one who spoke the way, he the one who made the path straight so that Christ could come on the scene. And so I see these type of things happen on a regular basis. Anybody else? What are some other things that you may notice?
They still beg for money.
Well, true.
The mindset of the world is the mindset in the church.
Okay, what do you mean by that? I know what you mean, but I just want you to expound.
In a lot of instances, like just what she said, that encompasses that even. I mean, you know, mindset in this world is they are respecters of people. It's the same way in the church. Mindset in the world is money is king. Mindset in the church is the same thing. I mean, you name it.
That's true.
If it's something that's prevalent out there, it's the same thing in the church.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Whatever we see that is in the world, you see it incorporated into the church. That is true. So it lets you know, or it lets us know what really is influencing the church the most, because the same mindset that is in the world is the same mindset that's in the church. The exact same mindset. So it lets you know what is running the church, and it makes it clearer when Yah says says concerning our ministry, more people than in the history of the church, because right now we hadn't really seen it come to the full manifestation of what the real church is. Go ahead.
I mean, you don't even see churches these days boldly standing for the principles of the kingdom. They just give you a message. It's not like anything that's counter whatever the culture is. You don't see anybody taking a claim and taking a strong stand for the kingdom. You see them do everything but that.
Right. Now I'm gonna give you an example of what he just said. What the church, and I said church for lack of a better way to express it, because we understand what is being referred to. What the church does nowadays, like Elder pointed out, is no stance for kingdom principles. It's all about doing things that's designed to make people or to make people feel comfortable in their condition by being a part of the body. So it's like there's no stance for the kingdom, but it's about taking a stance for you. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. My mindset has always been, and I will always take this stance. You get people that say, well, the church is a hospital, and anybody ought to be allowed to come into the church. And my first reply is, what scripture and verse is that? Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I mean, even if you take that stance, anybody that comes into the hospital can't be a doctor.
There you go.
Can't be a nurse.
There you go. That's my point.
Or on the staff. You can't have no murderer be a janitor. I mean, it's a whole lot of roles, but it's got to be some kind of sense of semblance. Otherwise, the hospital won't operate like a hospital should.
Exactly. So the reason why I say we're a scripture and verse to that, it's for that very reason, what Elder just pointed out. In other words, when you come to anything, when you walk in the Cowboy Stadium, you can't go in there and play baseball. You got to go in there and sit down and watch the Cowboys play. You can't go in there and run out on the field and you and Pook and them go play. You can't do what you want. Everything has a standard by which it operates, except for when it comes to the church. So what they refer to as the church being a hospital is that anything can come in here and be any kind of way that it want to be, and it don't matter because we're supposed to receive all kinds of, well, I receive a baseball player, but he better be cheering for the Cowboys, not the Rangers, when he come up in the Cowboy Stadium. If he comes up in Cowboy Stadium and he's cheering for the Rangers, something is wrong. And why should we say, well, everybody, let's cheer for the Rangers? Because after all, we just trying to make him feel welcome because he's a Ranger fan. Who does that? But yet in the church, as Elder pointed out, nobody stands, what I said, nobody, this is a cliche, stands for the kingdom. But everybody is trying to make the church a hospital, not to heal folks, but to let folks come in here and be a doctor if they want to, be a nurse if they want to, and do all these different things that they want to, instead of coming in getting the actual things that's necessary for them to be healed. So it's a hospital for the sick, but not for the sick to get well now. It's a hospital for the sick that allowed them to come in and remain sick. And so we use that as an excuse to say, you're all right, just do what you do. Because we want your money and we just want you in the chair. There's no kingdom standard. And that's a good point. Go ahead.
You had to talk. Just like the hospital, we don't want you to get well. We don't care about your
dysfunction. Just like the world.
We don't care about your dysfunction. As long as we can If your dysfunction can help us get more money, then so be it.
And that's what I've been noticing, and it's beginning to be a burden. So one of the things that we will be very clear on is, yeah, anybody can come to the church, but all who come to the church has to line up with what goes on here at the church. It's kind of like this. I'm gonna use you, brother. When somebody come to your house, and what is it, if you don't mind being transparent, what is it that you don't like for a person to do when they come to your house? They get on your nerves. Somebody come to your house and do something, you be like, nah, I don't allow that to happen in my house. What is it that somebody could do in your house that you don't allow?
Smoking.
Okay. Brother-in-law don't like smoking in his house. Now what people say in the body is that, okay, this is a hospital, and whatever condition you have, just come on in here and sit down with it. Hey, come on in here and sit down with it, and you don't have to make an adjustment, because we're not here to judge you. We're not here to make no changes whatsoever. Just come here and be comfortable. Well, it's like what brother-in-law is pointing out. Nobody can go to anybody's house and do what they want. We all have to make adjustment. If I go to each one of your houses, I have to make an adjustment, because there's something that go on in your house that I may do and you don't do. And when I come to your house, I can't say, well, this is what I want to do. And since this is what I want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you just got to deal with it. That's what's going on in the church. The church has the mindset that we just gotta be just lukewarm enough to let everybody come in with any condition. And here's the key: and don't change. Everybody comes in with any condition. There don't have to be any change. And everybody who comes through the door is saying to the church, now you have to now adjust to me. I don't have to adjust to the standard in here. When I come to your church, you have to adjust to my standard. So if I live a certain lifestyle, you got to adjust to my standard. If I do certain things, if I like Puff the Dragon, and if the church I came from, they got bells and whistles for the kids to play with every service, then we got to come up with bells and whistles, because everything is about catering to what I need instead of me positioning myself to be everything he want me to be. This is what's happening with the church nowadays, and I'm seeing this. You know, we went to a comedy thing last Saturday, and you know, we had a good time. But I received a text. I did a writing, I think, earlier that day or something like that. And I received a text, and the text was in reference to the writing that I did, and it said in a nutshell. Okay, because I was explaining the history of our people and what was called, what we made was a blood oath. It was a blood curse when our nation said concerning Christ's crucifixion, when they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And I said, that was a blood oath, and I went on to connect it to things that's happened in our history, and even some things that's happening to us on the day. Well, the individual response to that was, okay, well, what do we do about the blood of Jesus? Because here's religion jumping up now. Here's what do we do about the blood of Jesus? Because Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I was like, you missed the whole point. The point is, yeah, he said it, but that's not a doctrine now. See, religion hears that, and religion says, no matter what you do to me, I just got to forgive you, even if you know what you're doing or not, no matter what you do, I just got to just let it go, and as a Christian, you can just beat the crap out of me. And I'm going to just say, Jesus, Jesus, because Jesus did it, then by golly, I'm going to do the same thing. I said, what you have to realize is that he said it, but it didn't change the oath. So now you're taking what he said and you're making that a doctrine, and that ain't had nothing to do with what's going on today in reference to the thing that I had written about. Now, another thing that you see, I see people do, and these scriptures I'll just pull up, certain scriptures that people make out of doctrine. Let's see where. If I'm doing it correctly. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2. Now, Paul makes this statement. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Yah. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know people make this a doctrine, and I don't care what you say, where they go in the Bible, they're gonna end up right here. They can go to this scripture right here. I've seen them do it to show you how far off we've gotten. And when I say we, I'm talking as far as the body is concerned. Let me find it right now. Ezekiel 1. I've heard an individual say this is Christ. Now, Ezekiel 1 verse 16 says, "The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel." In the middle of a wheel. I've heard preachers look at this verse and said this is a symbol of Christ. That he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Because everything they see in scripture, they say it points to Christ. This is how things, but when you look at Ezekiel, it's really describing how Yah travels in a nutshell. Ezekiel 1 tells you how Yah travels. And it just points out how he travels, who travels with him and things like that. That's what Ezekiel chapter 1 is about. And so when you look at it, when it says, I have determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified, you get people who, as a matter of fact, the majority of the body of Christ lives by this doctrine right here. And so their goal is regardless of whatever they deal with, all they deal with is the perspective of Christ and him crucified. Now, truly Paul, you know, we can see clearly in scripture that Paul wrote this, but at the same time, we got to understand why he wrote it and within the contextual meaning of why he wrote it. Because if we don't, we'll turn around now, and all we'll try to do is get people to the altar. Well, my question is, my viewpoint at this is, okay, if all we're doing is getting people to the cross, Then 19 years later, we'll see that individual, and that individual will be still at the cross. So when these individuals make this kind of statement concerning verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified," then I said, well, okay, then the same person made this statement, said, when are we going to, I'm paraphrasing it, I'll go to it, when are we going to quit talking about the first principles of the oracles of Yah? I want to go on the deep things, but I keep having to tell you, just stay saved, baby. I keep having to go to Jesus Christ and him crucified because you keep nailing him to the cross again because you don't want to grow in the things of Yah. So I said, the same individual who determined that is the same one who told you, can we go on some deeper things now? Let me make sure. First principles, I think it's Paul. It's Hebrews 5, verse 13. Most likely it is Paul, although it's written to Hebrews. You have some that kind of debate it. But still, it says we dealt with this for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yah, and are become such as have need of milk. And not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay, so the first principles of the oracles of Yah, when you look at the first principles of the oracles of Yah, it deals with things concerning, let's just deal with the word instead of just... So we look at the first principles, it says fundamental, elements, something orderly in arrangement. So as you continue to run the reference on this here, it talks about piety walk, or the military rank, the first walk in the things of Yah, okay? And so what this is basically saying in a nutshell is... he's saying in a nutshell, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first steps of the oracles. And we just look at the word oracle just for the sake of the lesson. Oracles, it says an utterance. You run the reference on it. It says a fluent, eloquent. Okay, so the utterances of Yah. And so in a nutshell, Paul is like, okay, oh, I just said this right, I believe it's Paul, that is saying in a nutshell, okay, there are things that we can discuss, there are deep things that we can discuss, but we can't get there because the body is still stuck on these first principles. And so I asked from this perspective, what do we do once we realize that Christ has been crucified for us, and we believe that he's been crucified for us based upon Romans 10, 9, and 10. What is it that needs to take place from there? What does a person need to know? Because I have people that say this to me. Even when we deal with things concerning who we are as a nation of people, I've had plenty of people say, why does that matter? Why does that matter? Because all that should matter is, let me go there. This is presented, this is discussed a lot. They said, so when you look at Romans 10 and 9 and 10, it says, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that Yah raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I have people that will say, okay, why is it important to know who the true Jews are? All I care is I'm saved. I have people that ask me, that say that to me all the time. Why is it so important? I, I'm, 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 I'm saved. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm in right standing with Yah. That's all that matters to me. Go ahead.
It's kind of like this. I see it as saying like this. Why is it important to know who the managers are at my job? All I care about is I got a job. Well, there's an order to it. Just because you got a job, you need to know who doing what in order to do that job effectively.
We keep going to this same thing. It's like Elder keep taking us in this same circle, using us different examples to show, look, everything has an order to it, and if we don't operate within the boundaries of that order, then it's not going to work. Whether it's on your job, whether it's going to watch the Cowboys, whether it's coming to church, there are certain things that has to be understood, and if it's not understood, then there's not going to be true understanding. How can I walk in true salvation for believing in the Messiah if I don't understand the order? If I don't understand the order, I think my salvation walk in when I stood up there and said, confess Romans 9 and 10. And I don't take into consideration that the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Wait a minute, I got to work this out? It's a free gift that was given to me, yes. It's a free gift. Romans 3 tells us that. It's a gift. Look at it. And be thinking about something to put with this. It's a free. I'm talking about salvation. It's a free gift. Now, as I'm pointing this out, think about it, an example that would bring us into an understanding that it's a free gift. But yeah, just because it's free don't mean that you just get the thing. So just kind of think of that. Okay, let me read it now. Okay, now, let me see which word it is.
And after y'all do that, I have a scripture I want you to look at.
Okay, good. I may be in the wrong one. Although there's some good information in there, I want to point out where it says gift of oh God, let me make sure. Okay, I'll read Romans 6 and then we'll go to yours. Now, Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we understand that this is a gift. We'll look at the definition of gift. It says a divine gratuity, i.e. deliverance from danger or passion, and also says spiritual endowment, religion, miraculous faculty, free gift. So this gift that comes from Yah, which is eternal life, is a free gift that we get through Christ Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10 to the right of the screen. This is a free gift. So based upon that understanding, Elder, is a free gift. Now, give us the responsibilities of a free gift.
I use the equivalent of any prize that you win in any contest here in your United States of America. Whatever that prize is, there are stipulations that are associated with that that you have. So, for example, let's say the lottery, for example. You win the lottery. Some states, you have to identify who you are. You have to come make a public appearance. You have to do all these things. If you want this money, if you don't want the money, you can win the prize and not get the prize because you don't line up to the stipulations necessary to win this prize. All the time.
Another example is I win a car. I win a car. I just can't go get the keys and just take my free gift and just drive off and just wave it. A lot of time when you see them people get them free gifts, they be waving and happy. Then all of a sudden you wait a minute. I gotta pay taxes. It's a free gift, but there's still something that is required on my part. Any gift you get, let's say we don't celebrate Christmas, okay? But that was a time when we did. When somebody bought me a Christmas gift and put it under the tree, when they put that gift in my hand, I had to open the package. That was so, I couldn't just take the gift, just say, okay, I got this free gift, okay, it's just going to pop open and everything, just going to be, there's always something that is required on my part, even though something is given to me as a gift, as the elder pointed out. Salvation is a free gift, but the scripture also tells us to work it out. It was given to us freely. And Yah said, if I put salvation in your hand through the death and resurrection of my son, at least you ought to walk circumspectly according to the gift that's given to you. Can't just take the gift now and go throw it on the wall and say, I got mine. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to do nothing from this point. I went up to the altar and I gave my life to Yah, and Yah gave me his son, and he gave me salvation as a free gift. Now I can go sit down and just wait. Doesn't make sense. Put it down.
I mean, when you look at it, it's almost like a trust. From the example of the trust, there are stipulations within that trust, right? So let's say, your parent left you $1 billion. There's a trust, but there's stipulations in that trust. If you're not lining up to X, Y, and Z, you don't get any of the benefits of this trust, right? And there can be stipulations that, you know, if you don't do this, you don't do this. Yeah, all this stuff is yours, but you got to line up to this if you want to get whatever this stuff is. And so that doesn't, it's not even just a one-time deal. That trust can go out through your whole life, the stipulations that are on there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, if you line up, you get all the benefits. If you choose at any point to not line up, you may have gotten some benefits, but as soon as you choose not to line up, you no longer get those benefits going forward.
They're cut off. It is like that across the board, but yet people come to the church and think that everything that happens from the perspective of the kingdom is just something that's free. I don't have to do anything for it. I don't have to grow. After all, I believe Jesus is my Lord. Well, the devils believe and tremble. But I don't think we're going to see one of the, any of them in the kingdom. What was the scripture, Monica?
Hebrews 6:1.
Let me get out of this one. Okay. That's a good one. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yah, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if Yah permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of Yah and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of Yah afresh and put him to an open shame. Did y'all understand that? We'll read it again. Therefore, leaving. So we'll go to just to chapter 5, for example. Look at what he says, because it's a continuation. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yah, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. What is exercise senses?
To use them,
but let's talk about it from the perspective of exercise. What come to mind when we're exercising?
Yes, strengthening.
Train.
Yeah.
So the same way, you know, same, go ahead.
You're doing something over and over to get better at it.
Over and over. Elder and I train every Monday and Thursday together.
That's repetition.
That's exercising. Brother-in-law training.
Endurance.
It make endurance. And so all these are things. Training gives us the endurance. What? We give you endurance to do. Keep doing it. Get better at it. So if we're exercising, then it's building up endurance from a kingdom perspective to keep working at it, to keep doing it. So as you look at what it's saying in verse 14 now, it says exercise to train, exercise. Now, as we clicked on the wrong thing. So as we look at now, verse 14, I'm going to read it again. Then we're going to go into verse 1. We understand it fully. You had something?
Yeah, I had a comment because you brought back something that I wanted to say earlier.
Go ahead.
Where it says exercise to discern both good and evil. One of the comments that we were talking about earlier about, you know, the church these days just letting anybody in kind of deal. I think the difference is that they lack the ability to discern between who is a sheep and who is a goat.
That's a good point.
And they're not the same.
That is a good point.
Goat may try to show up in you, but a shepherd ain't never going to be able to shepherd no goat. It's not a sheep, it's a goat.
That's a very good point. One of the things we have to realize is that if we have the mentality of being a house pillar that just allow anything to come in without realizing or discerning that some things that's coming in is not coming in to change, but coming in to change you, to change us. There are some people who will show up, that as Ella pointed out, that is a goat. And their sole reason for sitting there is, I don't want anything about God. I want to make you bow down to my lifestyle. And we have to be able to discern between good and evil. And as Elder pointed out, a lot of us who are dealing with these churches are not able to do that. So anything that comes through the door, we welcome it and don't realize that is a goat that is there to never change. But to cause leaven in the church. And what is leaven? It's a symbol of sin. A little leaven will mess up the whole thing, will cause sin to run rapid through the entire church. And because people are not able to discern between that good and evil, they just say, this is a hospital, anybody can come. No, can't anybody come to United Ministries?
I mean, even in hospitals, they have security, because when somebody come in doing foolish stuff that don't line up to the standard of the hospital, security, police, whoever, get them up out of there.
I don't care what's going on with you. You can be sick as all outdoor, but you come up in there acting crazy. They're going to put your sick self outside those doors if you don't line up with the standard that is sitting in the hospital. You can be sick. They're going to be like, well, in order for us to help you, you're going to have to adjust to our standard. You can't come in here saying, give me a shot of morphine. That's what I want. Okay, yeah, dang it. Now, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, practiced, trained to discern both good and evil. We need to know both. Then as it goes into the next chapter now, it points out, therefore, with that in mind, what we just left off, to discern between good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I don't need to know, baby, you just need to be saved. I have to be able to leave that principle, not neglect it. And so when you look at the word leaving, it is from a perspective, let's just deal with it.
Moving on.
Yeah,
I leave kindergarten to go to the first.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't neglect the stuff I learned in kindergarten when I go to the first grade, but I do leave kindergarten going to the first grade.
Exactly. So when you look at it, it says yield up to sin, to sin forth, cry, forgive, forsake, lay aside. So when you look at these different words, it's letting us know that we don't neglect it, but we should be advancing. Like Ella pointed out, to a higher grade. So it says, to discern between good and evil with the same thoughts in mind, as Mama Cole points out in Hebrews 6, verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, first principles of the oracles of Yah. Let us go on unto perfection. Come on, let's advance. When brother on train, when he's lifting weights, he's trying to perfect something. He's trying to get better than what he is at that point. So the continued training allows him to perfect something. It don't decrease, it makes it better. Now, if we don't continue, then guess what will happen? It'll decrease. If he don't exercise, he start to go backwards. He's back to the first principles, like the first time he worked out. Let him miss 2 or 3 years. It's going to be like he's starting all over again, like he's never worked out before. The consistent training is what enables us to continue to perfect that which we're training to do. Same thing in the kingdom. Therefore, leaving the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, which are wonderful, we all do and are very glad to know that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. We are excited to know that if we believe on him, we shall be saved. Well, how does that gift manifest there? We have to leave the doctrines of Christ and go on to perfection. We have to take that, understand it, and know it, and apply that principle, and confess and believe that he is our Lord, and then move from there to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. In other words, I'm not going to start now working in a way to try to gain that which has been given to me as a gift. Okay? I don't have to do all these different things, you know, but I still have to go on to perfection, because some people get stuck in all these things. They get stuck in baptisms. They get stuck in laying on their hands. Some people can't preach. They're trying to call off the call, lay on hands. Everybody ain't sick. That's why when people come to United Ministry, man, why y'all ain't laying hands on nobody? Because we grown. We don't need no laying hands on us. We ain't got no issues. We're growing on into the things of y'all. Now, somebody come in here that needs some hand laid on them, we'll lay hands on them. But this ain't our regular service, because everybody ain't crazy every week. I'm just using that as a cliche. That was me, y'all. So I'm just using that as a cliche. Why have a laying on the hand service after every service? That is the first principle of the oracles of Yah. Folks need delivering every week. Same people come up to the office, same deliverance. That's milk. When you see those type of sittings, you're looking at milk. Doctrines of baptism, you got to be baptized for you. These are first principles. Laying on of hand. Talking about the resurrection of the dead. All these are biblical principles. Yeah, we teach on it. But you get some people, that's all they teach. That's all they teach, the doctrine of Christ. And eternal judgment, you're going to hell if you don't get yourself together. All of you are going to hell, you're hell bound. Folks, run up to the altar. Get their life to Christ, and then next week the same folk back at the altar because the preacher done scared us. Eternal judgment, and this we will do if y'all permit. In other words, if y'all permit, let us leave some of these things and go on. We're not saying that they're omitted. We're saying we're going to move forward.
I mean, you go from one grade to the next. You don't inherently discuss all of the stuff that from the previous grade, but it's incorporated in the stuff that you're learning for that next phase. You ain't learning ABCs in the third grade. You should already know them. Now it's incorporated in that you have to read and all those kinds of things, but we ain't going on baby to say.
That's a good point. Something is wrong with your school if you in the 12th grade and you were still listening to 1 + 1 = 2. Autumn, what grade you in, Autumn? You're in the third grade. If you, when you first moved up here and you went to your school, if they were saying, we want to teach you 1 + 1, you would have told them, no, I already know what that is. I don't want to go back there. You'd come home and be like, hey, sir, they teaching me stuff I already know. I don't like this school. They sit up and teach me 1 + 1 = 2. I'm bored. I don't know what to do. That's what's going on in the body. That's why when Janice and Deanna went to that church, they were looking at them because they're still in the mindset of cleanliness is next to godliness and all this kind of stuff. And if you go, you got to be this here to show that you, you know, you're anointed and you're gifted. You got to try this and you got to do that. First principle of the oracles of God. So you look at them and say, child, they can't be saved. They ain't got on, they don't have on no right kind of shoes. He can't be a preacher with blue jeans on.
I just see it as a kindergarten mentality. <Go ahead. laughs> The kindergarten doesn't have the ability to comprehend that a police officer don't always have on his uniform.
Undercover.
That doesn't mean that when he dress regularly, he's not still a police officer.
Break the law if you want to. One time I was driving down the road some years ago. I was still in high school, and I used to have a company truck and driving home every day. Man, I'd be flying home every day in that truck. One day, there was an undercover cop on the freeway. And, man, I was jumping between them lanes and all that in that car and pulling all in front of people with that. I remember 16, 17, pulling all in front of people in that old truck. Didn't care because it was old and beat up in and out. Like, hit it. It ain't mine. And I don't care. And finally, this dude pulled up beside me and looked at me and said, pull over. I'm looking at him like, man, who is this? Don't pull. Then I look real good. I said, oh, my God, it's a police officer. So I pull over. He said, don't you know how you was driving? And the only thing I would say, y'all just kind of gave me a little wisdom in that one little moment. And so I was like, yes, sir. I said, it's kind of hard to look in front of me and behind me at the same time. When I said that, he was like, oh, you got a point, but watch how you drive. You know, he let me go. But, you know, it's like what else to say. I didn't know. If I had known ahead of time that was the undercover officer, I sure would have pulled in front of him. I almost made him run in the back of me. You know, so it's very important, and that's a good scripture one because Hebrews 6 that really points out what we're discussing. And we have to grow, y'all, and I'm concerned for the body, and I'm running into people. My niece said this about her grandmom. She's like, grandmom just in this religion, and she's not going to change. It's like she has a religious mindset, and no matter what happens, it's like she stays in the vein of that. And I'd be like, oh, she's very correct. Because, I mean, you know, I get around my sister sometimes, and it's like, I'm like, sis, it's like you ain't grown since you walked out the door. It's like it's just the same old stuff, man. Still hang around with the apostles and prophets and these evangelists and these things, and y'all have a revival and lay hands on the sick, and you still feeding folks all because Jesus fed 3,000. Now you making that into a doctrine, and you don't realize it. Stop feeding them folks. I bet they stop coming because they're coming because you're adjusted to them. They're not adjusted to the kingdom. So the only reason why you having church service is because you feed these people. Don't feed these people and watch them not come. The same way Savior said, you just showing up because I'm giving you these fishes and loaves. I was talking to a brother. A brother has a wonderful ministry over in South Dallas. He feeds the homeless every week. And I went and sit down and visit with him one time. And I had to talk to him after. I said, listen, bro. I said, I'll be watching these people. I said, they come in here and sit in here and go to sleep. All they doing is waiting on the dinner bell. I said, when are you going to raise up to a standard and require something out of these people? All you're doing is allowing them to show up. They have no interest in the word. They have no interest in changing. Matter of fact, they take some of them are homeless because they take their money and they spend it on drugs. Then they come in here and eat for free. And so all they do is show up and eat here on Tuesday. And Wednesday, they go down to the church up the street because I've had them tell me. One of them had a backpack full of food. He said, oh, man, he said, I'm going to throw this here away tomorrow. He said, because they have another feeding over here. They know where all the feeding places is, so they have no mindset to change. All they do want to sit down and eat and get the clothing that you're going to pass out, and they come get the same old pair of tennis shoes you gave them last week. When are we going to grow from the first principles of the oracles of Yah? Ain't nothing wrong with feeding people, but when we make it a doctrine, because Christ did it, now there's no growth. People just showing up to eat. And that's been my burden. So what I want to encourage us to do, y'all, we have a great responsibility And we will work in every facet of what the word tells us to do. There'll be times when we'll deal with people who are coming through the door that don't understand the principles of the doctrines of Christ, him, you know, his death, burial, resurrection. We'll deal with that. We'll deal with every facet of the ministry or the kingdom in aiding people to grow, not enabling them to stay the same. We'll do all these things to enable people to grow. If that's feeding them one day, we'll feed them. But it ain't gonna be something they're gonna say, oh man, every Tuesday they feeding up at the Remnant Center. Because everything that we're gonna implement is gonna be designed for growth. It's gonna be designed for growth. And so, you know, I wanted to, you know, just share that with you because it's become a burden. It's become a burden to me to see these things happening. I'm like, y'all, so much work to be done. Even though the body of Christ, you know, it's so much work to be done. It's just amazing to me. Even when you see large churches, man, I'll be sitting there and be like, man, okay, they looking at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 said, the Lord added to the church daily such as she'll be saved. So now that's a doctrine. So all these preachers are concerned about is church growth. That's all they're concerned about. Church growth. We got 20,000. We got 30,000. And some of them, majority of them be lying. We got 20,000. No, you don't. You don't have no 20,000 folks. That's just all the folks you got on the roll. The same people that's on the roll at the other church too. Matter of fact, I was laughing. I was listening on the news one night, and this guy was talking about two mega churches here in Dallas, and he said he was a member of both of them. I was like, well, how is that? He said, yeah, I'm a member right here, and I'm a member right here. He said, I just love my churches. I said, what is going on? And that's all people do is they sign the roll, have no connection with these people whatsoever, and it's just all about numbers because, you know, they believe that the growth means status and Yah is with the church and all that. And we want to deal with all that. We want to grow. We want to deal with every facet of what take place in the kingdom. We do it right. Yah is going to always add to the church daily, such as she'll be saved. But at the same time, we're going to deal with every facet of it so that people can be all that they've been called to be in Christ. And so I wanted to just, you know, share that, you know, with you guys. And when you run into these people that all they want to say, you know, I'm just tired of holding stuff in. You know, every time I get around my brother-in-law and we start talking about scripture, he just said, oh, it's all about Jesus. No, it's not all about Jesus. He is a intricate part of this puzzle and a very important one, but the kingdom is not all about Jesus. Because he was obedient and he made it all about his Father. Okay? So when we start lining these things up and getting things in order, then we'll see some wonderful things you know, take place. And Yah is just, he's leading us in this area. And I like how all the point Elder put, you know, gave us. And so remember these things, y'all. So when people start saying, you know, the church is this, I see it all the time on Facebook when they be like, man, I can't believe that they did those people like that. One guy stood up and said, you know, he was telling people that was living a certain lifestyle, look here, we don't want to see you perform. And he started being criticized about that. And so he made a comment about it. He was like, look, he said, there's a standard here and we don't allow people to come in that have a certain lifestyle to be in this certain position. You're welcome to come in, but this is not a position where you need to be operating in. That's just honor, man. You know? And that's the type of ministry we'll be. We'll welcome anybody, regardless of their lifestyle, but we're going to make it clear. When you come in here, we're not adjusting to your lifestyle. You're going to adjust to what goes on here, or you need to find you somewhere to be, and I'll deal with any government, any system, any decree that's made saying that we can't.
But even at the principles, I mean, it's like that everywhere else. You just can't come in, using the same example, you can't just come into a hospital and say, well, she a nurse, I want to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. Give me a nursing job. Mm-hmm. There are qualifications necessary in order for you to get this job. And just because you walk in and you see somebody doing it and you think you can, or even if you can, if you don't got the qualifications, mm-hmm. you know, somebody get in trouble. Mm-hmm. If I know how to do what you're doing, I'll use the example of my mom. So she's been taking care of my uncle for all these years. There's certain things that she know how to do, mm-hmm. sometimes better than a nurse.
Right.
But by the same token, she can't come without a nursing qualification and go do these things elsewhere, because then it introduces a liability for her performing a task that she's not officially qualified to do, mm-hmm. although she has a skill to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Right. But with that in mind, Yah is the one who has set the standard by which we do things. And so just because a person can sing and play music and all that doesn't give them the ability to go and do those things that they're able to do outside the boundaries of the standard by which y'all sit to do it. We're going to stand on that. We're going to stand on that. And so that's going to be the mindset, and he's already given instructions on how to be able to do it. We're not going to have people to come in and force us to adjust to their lifestyle or adjust to the way that they feel comfortable in how church should be. When they come into United Ministry, they're coming into a ministry that worships Yah in spirit and in truth, and everything has to be according to Yah's standard. And ain't no system gonna come in there and take that down. It has to be that way. And what we've been experiencing is compromising on every status, and it's just every facet is just getting worse and worse. And we're just not going to do it. That's one of the reasons why it's taken us as long as it has been to get our building renovated, is because we're making it clear that we're following the standards of Yah. We're not going to do what you want us to do. We're not letting the world into our ministry. That's why it's taken us longer than other ministries. All we had to do was let the world in. We could have been finished with this a long time ago. But because we're taking that stand, then it puts us in position where Yah is doing in his time frame and all these things and all these systems that's out there are saying, well, since you're not going to do it our way, you're going to let us bring us in there, then we're not going to support it. Well, we're in the best position to be in. Very best. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments? We good? Okay, I'll stop here. Father, I always just bless you for just enlightening us on the standard by which you set for us as the body. We just decree that we will teach every facet of your word from Genesis to Revelation, but yet we will not be bound to any doctrine that we will not be bound to anything that can be formed to be a doctrine that keeps us from growing to perfection. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.